If it's happening in the Coachella Valley, it's front and center now.
I love your show. I just love it.
He calls it as he sees it.
So my daughter turned me on to you, and you're awesome.
Live from the Palm Springs iHub.
You know, as a businessman, I spend my entire day, I work hard for the, you know, make money for my family. So I don't have the time to invest and to know what's going on, you know. And that's why I listen to your show, because you tell it exactly the way it is.
This is the Russ Betts Show on iHub Radio.
And welcome to the Russ Betts Show. Good to have you with us. Happy Sunday morning. I don't know what you're doing. Are you cooking breakfast? Let's get on with it. There's a whole lot of funny news out there. And, the reaction to this COVID-19 has, I'm looking at a picture here somebody posted on social media, and it shows a rest stop, and apparently the rest stop is closed. And they locked the bathrooms at the rest stops, of course, so we don't spread the germs. But here they note that people still going to use the restroom, so they put portable bathrooms in front of the locked, closed restrooms. And of course, there's nowhere for people to wash their hands. Anybody consider a porta potty to be, like, more sanitary, less germ-ridden than, you know, a regular proper bathroom facility? I just don't know what people are thinking. I mean, we've got a backlash going on all of this. You can see it growing. You can see the protests. And if you're of the mind that everything should just stay closed, or that it's very serious, when stuff like this happens, you just play right into people's hands, because it is just silly and nuts. It's the same thing as telling people, no, you can't go park in your car with the windows rolled up and watch the sunset, or any other number of examples that are going on out there of, there's just no chance of it spreading. And it just seems like somebody is waking up in the middle of the night saying, I got this idea. What if we tell people they can't park in front of at the beach and watch the sunset? Or what if we, I think we need to close those rest stops along the interstate. I mean, those could be spreading germs. Think about it. Well, then they get to wondering, well, what are we going to do if somebody needs to use the restroom? Well, I got a great idea. Let's just put porta potties out there. You know, instead of maybe saying, closing the restrooms wasn't such a good idea. It's getting tiring. I know the conversation is turning. The conversation is going towards opening up. And some of that is as absurd as the conversation on locking down. We've got an inn in a place called Little Washington, which I guess is in back east. And the chef is going to try to do something to make his restaurant look more attractive to guests when they come in. And he's realizing that, well, he's got this thing where he's got to only use half of his tables can be open. You got every other table open. He says, well, that's going to make his place look empty. So a few weeks ago, the inn it's called the Inn at Little Washington. And what he's going to do is he's going to fill every other table with mannequins. And I'm looking at a picture of it here, and he's joined up with a local theater to get their costumes. Well, the theater's closed, so why not? They put those costumes to good use. And so at every other table, they have lifelike mannequins dressed up in period clothing from the 20s, which matches the motif of the restaurant, or 1940s era garb is what it is. And I guess the servers are going to be instructed to go to these mannequins and pretend like they're giving them service at the same time they're giving other people service. And the owner said he thought it would do good to reduce people's anxiety level when they come into the... I hope that one doesn't take. I mean, interesting to go look at it. All right. I got a tip for you here. We're just going to run down a stack of stuff. Usually I open with a monologue, and, this felt like taking a little bit lighter here to get the show rolling. Maybe you're at home just cooking some Sunday morning pancakes, or out in the garage poking around doing some work, and you got us on. That's good. Taking a little lighter here. We'll get into it. We got a couple items coming up here. We're going to talk about in depth about some money woes throughout the Coachella Valley. But, there was some concern about the last round of ballots that went out. And the ballots that went out were all, of course, mail-in ballots. There was no voting at the polls. And that was the race between Melissa Melendez and Elizabeth Romero for the Senate seat vacated by Jeff Stone. And locally, anyhow, here. And so it just turned out that somebody said on the same night or the same day that the mail-in ballots hit the mailbox, somebody posted to social media, "Hey, everybody's mailbox door is open. Somebody came through and stole all the mail." And that's a regular. That happens. People go around there. They go around. They drive through in the middle of the night. They open up every mailbox, take the mail, and then away they go with apparently valuable information. Well, I happen to know that this came in on the day that the vote-by-mail ballots were out because, well, we have a mailbox. And ours was a locking mailbox, and I went there and I got it. But, not everybody picks up their mail. So all throughout this neighborhood on that day, the mailbox doors were open, a sure sign that somebody had gone through and cleaned out the mailboxes. And it turns out what they got, obviously, were these vote-by-mail ballots. Now, what they did with them or whether they were targeting that, I have no idea. But there's a way that you can check and see what mail you have in your mailbox. And if you're one of those people that are concerned about either, checks being distributed and those are getting disappeared or whatever mail is being taken, you can actually find out what it was because you can get a picture of your mail right away. And I'm looking at mail that came into my house. This was back on May 7th, but I had a letter from SoCal Gas, and I can see an actual picture of the letter that would be in my mailbox. And then I had a check that came in. Thank you very much. I always like it when the mail person brings me a check. And then there was an advertisement for stamps.com, a little piece of mail that was from the United States Postal Service telling me I can get stamps online or print them myself. And then the guy who's asking me if I want to sell my house, he sent me a letter. And then I had a letter from the Palm Springs Unified School District and a few more. Now, I'm looking at pictures of each one of those envelopes. And that picture arrived in my email inbox before the mail ever arrived. I know every day what's coming into my mailbox. So it's a service called Informed Delivery. And I'll give you the address if you want to write it down, but if you just go to Google and type Informed Delivery USPS, you'll get it. But it's USPS Informed Delivery .com, I guess. See how bad I am with these email addresses. Anyhow, there you go. That's a really good tip for you. And I put a few people onto that, and there you go. We just put a whole bunch more onto that. There's this conversation going on with masks, and some people think they look funny. They feel uncomfortable wearing them. And in other parts of the world, people are asking, well, why won't Americans wear masks? And happens to be the people asking this one is the China Daily. And, actually, China does have a China news organization, and they put out news. Of course, it's probably a little bit biased when it comes to reporting on themselves. But on other world events, it offers an interesting perspective. Take it with a grain of salt, but it's real interesting to come across this one, and it says, despite repeated Center for Disease Control recommendations, some Americans remain reluctant to wear face masks as COVID-19 pandemic spreads rapidly far and wide in the United States. Well, we don't know if it's spreading far and wide, but anyhow. And, that begs the question, why? When the outbreak began to overrun the country, the Surgeon General even told Americans not to wear masks. His reasoning was that the mask had not been proven to stop the spread of the disease. Somewhat contrarily, he also said masks should be reserved for frontline medical workers. So, they protect frontline medical workers, but don't wear them because they won't protect you. And, I'm not quite sure how people reconcile that one. I know there's people out there. The CDC, have you noticed the CDC, where they've gone on this one? Don't wear masks. They're not good. They won't protect you. But, frontline workers are okay. Then they went into saying, I think probably a good idea to wear them. This thing's getting pretty serious. Wear a mask or wear some type of face covering. It'll prevent the spread of this virus. And now apparently they're back to saying, no, don't wear them. And then you got everybody who doesn't want to wear a mask is citing the CDC. And I say, well, which time are you citing the CDC? Now, before, or before that? And, I guess you could say it's 2-1. Two times the CDC said don't wear them, and one time they said do wear them. So I guess if you wanted to cite the CDC, 2 out of 1, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Anyhow, the China Daily says they've noticed that a lot of Americans are now wearing masks, and indeed you can see that. It's a rare exception of people not wearing a mask when they go into a store. And there's been a few fights over that of people getting in other people's faces because they didn't have their faces covered. And China Daily says, well, now that everybody's wearing them, it's better late than never. They're pointing out that they've known for a long time that this virus could be transmitted by people without any apparent symptoms. And of course, that's obviously, we all know that now. We knew that back in January 30th. The New England Journal of Medicine put out an article that said, you don't have to have symptoms to be spreading this thing. So anyhow, highly contagious. And we know the result of all that. So, here comes the editorial from the China government. Hence, the United States government waited a long time without warning its citizens about how COVID-19 could be transmitted between humans, perhaps causing many more people to get sick than otherwise would have. All right. So let's see where they go off of this one. So from the very start, Americans didn't wear a mask simply because they had no experience with them and it wasn't culturally acceptable to wear a mask. China, Japan, South Korea, they basically got a culture of wearing masks. It's no big deal. I'm going to tell you, I was wearing them back in February with my wife, who insisted that we don't go anywhere without masks, and she's still really, really, really careful. I had to put on 2 masks to go into a store. She thinks they filter stuff. I'm of the belief that wearing a mask prevents people from this spreading. And I didn't mean to get off on this so long. I wanted to have this be a fun, quick opening. But, while we're on the subject of masks, the Riverside County supervisors took a position that, no, we're not going to wear masks. And, but, of course, a bunch of cities decided that, no, I'm not going to go with that one. The city where I'm a council member, for those of you who don't know, and this is my weekend gig to keep you all informed here, but my day job is as a council member in the city of Desert Hot Springs. Anyhow, about a week, 5 days before the supervisors voted to make masks recommended, our city went ahead and said, we're going to keep them mandatory. We relaxed some of the absurd stuff, like you have to wear them in a car, you have to wear them while out there alone anytime you go out of your house. I mean, people weren't ridiculous with that as they did with telling people they can't sit in their car and watch a sunset. Basically, when you go into a store, you put on a mask, when you come back out, you take it off. If you're walking along outside, you don't need to put on a mask. But, if you come across somebody and you stand there and talk to them, well, put it on while you're talking to each other. It's simple, it's easy, it's not that big a deal. Well, anyhow, apparently now a whole bunch of other cities, not apparently, in fact, a whole bunch of other cities in the Coachella Valley have gone along. And I think it's only Indian Wells and Rancho Mirage that still have it as a advisory. I'll double check that during the break. This is the Russ Betts Show here on iHub Radio. Good to have you with us. And hey, we're here till noon. Back with more.
Live from Palm Springs.
Hey, everyone, listen to this, please.
10 years ago, this was a thriving, booming economy, but we're not going to that extent. This thing isn't a total crash.
I want to tell you got the radio voice, my friend.
This is the Russ Betts Show.
Wow, that's really honorable.
Now, here's Russ Betts on iHub Radio.
I don't know what it means to have a radio voice, but I'm just talking like normal, but okay, there we go. I'm going to take some credit for calling this one way early. I keep reading the news about 3 weeks after I mentioned it that, we're going to have to start looking at some other things besides closing down. And I'm here looking at the news wire here in the studio. We get all the news feeds from just about everywhere. And there's a story here where Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar is now stressing an urgency for states to reopen the economy. And he was speaking on CNN's State of the Union, and he noted that President Trump has left the decision up to local leaders, but he's also arguing against a one-size-fits-all approach to reopening. I'm reading off the wire script here. Azar said the county is ready to reopen, and he reminded folks that over 10 million coronavirus tests have been done. And then here's the part I was mentioning 3 weeks ago. The secretary emphasized there are serious health consequences to staying shut down. He specifically mentioned things like cancer screenings and that are not being done. And of course, we all know if you put off a cancer screening and you don't catch it soon enough, and believe it or not, there's people out there who have had serious cancer, been treated, or in remission, and every 3 months or 6 months, depending on where they are in the stage of their remission, they're supposed to go in and get tested. Well, they're being told, "Hi, you know what? Don't come in right now." Now, if they're still in remission and everything is fine, well, you don't need to do another course of therapy. You just keep on going and wait for your next test. But those screenings are there for a reason. And if you're told don't come in and you end up missing a screening, well, that's a problem. The obvious problem becomes if somebody doesn't, if they miss something and it was advantageous to get them back on treatment again. We have no way to calculate all that. There's a very real number out there to, poverty being death. That'll be the next thing you'll see on the news, is the poverty is going to be a death. So anyhow, before we went on to the break, I was just talking about masks, and I just wanted to finish up with this thought from the China Daily. It's an observation I made that, they were talking about why Americans aren't wearing masks and making the point they should have been worn earlier. And hey, here in China, we all wear masks, and same thing in South Korea and other Asian countries. But they finish up, say, finally, the idea that it is necessary to wear masks to protect the whole population from transmission, not just oneself, is somewhat at odds with America's extremely individualistic culture. But surely we've had enough time to learn the importance of mask wearing by now. Well, what's interesting is they note America's extremely individualistic culture. And, obviously China doesn't have an extremely individualistic culture. They have a the state's first, and, sorry, you're bad luck if something happens to you, some injustice. Anyway, we can get into that another day. In fact, we've covered that before, so we're not going to cover it again. All right, so the focus is, as we saw there from, Alex Azar, the Health and Human Services Secretary, talking about, hey, we got to get things opened up, and he's citing the reason that, obviously there's huge problems here with the economy. Well, you've got, you can start to see that happening at the Riverside County Board of Supervisors. And I'm looking at an article here from City News Service. It says Supervisors Manuel Perez and Karen Spiegel said today that Riverside County is working in concert with surrounding counties to seek concessions from the governor to relax regulations and permit the expedited reopening of more economic sectors. They're citing the coronavirus infection and death rates are continuing to slow. What's happening is, the county is facing a $100 million deficit. Palm Springs is facing a huge deficit. I'll get into that in some detail here coming up at the in the next segment. But as people are starting to notice the impacts of this economic downturn, they're saying, hey, we're already way below the economic hardship we faced with the 2008 Great Recession. And they're wondering, are we headed towards the Great Depression and then some? A couple of weeks ago, we had Bill Effinger on. He's wrote a book, The Great Depression, America, Are You Ready? And, he made the case that, this is really bad. We're heading into some serious times. It's going to take 15 years to recover. Pointing out that it took Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the New Deal to get things going again. And, of course, a war in World War II. They kind of got the economy fired back up, got people back to work. But we've already pumped in trillions of dollars into the economy. We've got people sitting at home right now. If we're talking about getting back to work, we've got people sitting at home making more at home than they were working on the unemployment. But the point is there's a whole lot of money being pumped into the economy. So are we going to go to a Great Depression? I don't know. I don't know anybody has a crystal ball. But Riverside County supervisors are sure thinking about, what's up ahead, and they want to start talking about getting things opened. And you have the governor came up with some really tough, unrealistic requirements to open up, like no deaths for 14 days. I think there's probably going to be deaths from coronavirus for the next few years. I mean, I talked to a nurse who asked her about this early on, and she says, look, we're still seeing H1N1 patients, and some of them are dying, and that's, years after the fact. She says, next year this will come around, every flu season this will come around, there's going to be deaths. Do we never open because we can never get to 14 days without a death? Well, that's what a bunch of task force around the valley and the Riverside County supervisors are now starting to ask. This is Russ Betts on iHub Radio. We're back with more coming to you from downtown Palm Springs.
Read about it tomorrow. See you tonight. Hear it all day today. If it's happening in the Coachella Valley, it's front and center now on iHub Radio.
No way. That's incredible.
Now, here's Russ Betts.
All right, we ran out of time. I was reading this news story about Riverside County supervisors wanting to open up, and we had run out of time before the break, and I thought, maybe I'll just set this one aside, but actually, there's some interesting stuff here. You got Karen Spiegel, a supervisor in Riverside County, says, we're working diligently for reopening of businesses. And she did a live-streamed news briefing. She says, we want to do it safely and successfully. And then you had, they've teamed up with elected officials from Orange, San Bernardino, and San Diego counties to prevent a joint request for Governor Newsom to consider granting variances to his four-phase plan paving to open up. And, this all rests with Governor Newsom. Everybody keeps asking, why don't you just open up? And we're going to get into that in just a second. But here you got Supervisor Manuel Perez saying, we want to accelerate through phase two. And we're guided by best practices for health and safety. We will do everything we can to suppress the virus and move our economy forward. And they're saying that the county has generally met most of Newsom's criteria. The main stumbling block is this no deaths in for 14 days. If you have one death, well, the clock kicks out another 14 days before you can move on to stage two fully. And the article here says that the idea is it restaurants could open up, beauty shops, houses of worship, wineries could all be allowed to open their doors with the proper safeguards. And the article says here that manufacturers, warehouse operators, and some retail establishments are allowed to operate. Well, we all know that some retail establishments are allowed to operate, but there's a whole bunch of them that have been closed, and now they've said that those retail establishments can do curbside pickup. How absurd is that? I mean, you go into, I don't want to specifically name Walmart, but you go into Walmart and it's just like business as usual. Everybody's walking around. I see people buying bicycles and, stereos, big TVs, crowded, some people wearing masks, some people not, whatever you want. I mean, it's just, and very little control put in place. But then you go up to this guy who's got a comic store, where you go get comic books and cards and stuff like that. And he can only do curbside service. So, or take Burlington Coat Factory, which is closed. Well, you can now go to Burlington Coat Factory, pull up and say, hi, yeah, could you go see if you've got a men's polo shirt size, 2X or 1X or medium, whatever size you want. It's just not realistic. The whole idea is you're going to go browse through the clothes. And you sit there and say, what is the difference between a Burlington Coat Factory and Walmart? If the whole idea is to close this stuff down, if they're that concerned about the spread of the virus, they shouldn't be allowing Walmart to open. And say, but it's essential, it's essential. Well, the list of essential, the difference between essential and non-essential is non-existent when it comes to the number of people concentrated and doing what they're supposed to be doing. Okay, I covered that one fully. We're going on. Hang a politician. The guy writes that on his roof. It says, Palm Desert bar owner, he wrote, save jobs, hang a politician. And I'm telling you, there's a whole bunch of local politicians that got upset by this, said it was terrible. Can't we keep things civil? Well, I'm going to tell you, Benjamin Franklin would be proud because they came to old King George, and some of the things that they didn't like, they weren't any too nice about it. If you ever go look, study that period in history, and Benjamin Franklin had a bunch of pseudonames. He didn't just print under his name. And I don't know if you ever went and wrote on top of a building roof, but you sure put out newspapers, and I'm sure they said more than just hang a politician. Anyhow, and he also has one that says, suck my governor. He might have meant my governor sucks, but either way, that's the message. It's a barn-style building. It's called the Red Barn. Anyhow, Red Barn owner John Labrano was just saying, God, I'm getting tired, man. All I want to do is open my business. Would you please leave me alone? Let me operate my business. I need to save my bar. And it's a very frustrating thing for somebody who's got this business going. And, all right, they're making a living. They can take a few days off, maybe, have some time off. They're doing, working hard, maintaining all this, keeping customers coming in. And they're afloat. They're not getting rich, but their business is working. And they put their blood and sweat into it, and their heart and their soul, whatever you want to call it. And I was sitting there shut down. And they're promised all this relief. It never shows up. Then when it does show up, it's, they get unemployment comes in at $4,600 for an unemployed bar owner or somebody like that. And you think, okay, well, that's wonderful. I'm shoveling out $7,000 a month in rent. I'm losing, $15,000 a month or more in income, and you're sending me $4,000. And you just go, come on, I just want to open up. And then to make matters worse, you hear about states all across the country opening up. So, he said, that's it. I'm opening my doors. And he threatened to open his doors. And I think he got a call from his attorney. He says, I got to tell you, if you open your doors, you're probably going to lose your liquor license. And Alcohol and Beverage Control for the state of California said, yep. You open your doors and start serving liquor. So he opened his door, but he didn't let anybody in. Anybody that was planning to come down there and support him had to stand outside on the sidewalk. And it's that way for a lot of businesses. People are asking me as a councilmember, well, why don't you just allow the businesses to open? And the answer is the city council does not have that authority to tell a business, hi, go ahead and go open. Hair salon, go open. It's all right. Go ahead and open. It's fine. We're going to let you do it. Forget what the governor says. Well, there's something for hair salons called the State Board of Barbering and Cosmetology, and they control your license, and it's a state agency. And all Governor Newsom has to say is, hi, anybody who opens up their salon, pull their cosmetology license. Now, that ain't any big deal. I mean, that ain't any small matter to have your license pulled. It's a big deal to get your license put in place. First off, you need a license to be a cosmetologist. To be a barber or a cosmetologist takes just about 9 months of schooling. It's almost on par with what it takes to, be a medical assistant technician or dental technician. Those might be, I think, 2-year courses. But you go through a whole lot of procedures. And then you have regular unannounced visits by the State Board of Barbering and Cosmetology sending out their inspectors to go look. And it's no small matter to lose your license because you don't get it back that easily. And you lose your license and, well, that's it. You're done. And not only do the cosmetologist have to have a license, but the actual salon owner has to have a license as well. There's two separate licenses and testing and everything else you go through. That's the same thing with a bar. It's a state alcohol beverage and control agency. Sorry, you're no longer licensed to sell alcohol. Go ahead, open your doors. The city told you to. So as a council member, I can't say, hi, go open, because the State Board of Barbering and Cosmetology or the ABC is going to say, well, why don't you go talk to your local elected official about getting you those licenses back, because, we're just not going to do that. So apparently this bar owner, despite his grumblings and rumblings, is still frustrated and got nowhere, and I'm sure he's sitting home today going, dang. Along with a lot of other people sitting there saying, dang. And it gets to be even more aggravating when you look around at the map. The New York Times has a great map out. I don't pay for their service, so I only got a glimpse at it. But it's basically showing every state out there that's opened or not open, I may even try and pull that up here, see if I can find it somewhere else, but there's a whole bunch of states that are opening. And I got a friend of mine in Arizona, and he says, restaurants are opened, and he's not exactly happy with the idea. He leans towards thinking that it's time to get opened up. But when he saw what took place in Arizona at a restaurant, he says it was just like business as usual. I mean, people lined up at the door. You know, you remember how it was when you're in a busy restaurant, everybody's standing there. The entire waiting room is filled. The waiting area is filled. There's line out the door. People, you know, getting past each other, squeezing past each other. Well, think of Elmer's here locally. I mean, this is busy and packed. And that's what they said. That's the way it is. So, but anyway, you watch people seeing that type of stuff go on in other states and saying, well, how come they can open, but I'm sitting here going broke? And I know there's people out there that every time you bring this up, you'll see them out there. There's some people who are really insistent that we need to keep businesses closed down. And I have to ask, are you broke? Do you have a steady income coming in? You can't fault somebody who has a business, who worked really hard to build that business, put everything into it. Every day of their existence as a business, they wonder, am I going to be here? Is this thing going to survive? And then this thing comes along, and they're watching their business disappear. And there's a whole lot of businesses that are not going to open again. You'll be driving down the road, and you're going to remember, wow, I remember that bar. So will this bar called the Red Barn be one of them? Is this guy going to be able to survive? Or are you going to drive past one day, look at this thing, the sign's been pulled down off it, the building will look the same, but it'll be either closed up or somebody else will be in there, and you say, wow, remember that guy that made all that commotion? Well, I guess he didn't make it. Tough luck. Too bad on him. Oh. All right, where are we going with all this here? Yeah, we got, you know, there's a whole bunch of other people out there with problems, and you got lawmakers trying to address it. They're proposing sweeping relief to homeowners and renters. And the issue that's coming up is, there's a moratorium on evicting people from my house. What do I do about that? And so there's a couple of plans being put forth by lawmakers that would, this one would give tenants 10 years to make up missed rent payments. And then there's another bill that would postpone mortgage and auto loan payments for nearly a year. So I guess the thinking is, if you missed rent payments and delinquent mortgage, okay, where's this going here? All right, so what they would do is qualifying renters would have 10 years to repay missed rent payments. Well, come on, is this really going to work? And then they would turn in, then the state would in turn compensate landlords for the missed rent in the form of tax credits. And those tax credits could be sold to pay mortgages and other bills. So I'm going to get a tax credit, and then to go cash in this tax credit, you know, it's sounding really, really complicated. Anyhow, then there's another one. And then the banks are asking what the heck's going to happen here. If you're telling me that I'm not going to collect money on this mortgage, where are we going to get money for this? The credit unions are crying, saying, hey, you know, for credit unions, this is going to be a financial disaster. They're saying that, they're looking at these proposals and they're not exactly thrilled about it. And I don't know if the banking lobby, do they ever not get their way? Anyhow, both these proposals are going to cost a very broke state of California $300 to $500 million per year, the early estimates. I bet you're probably looking at more than that. And this state is so broke, they're even considering closing down all the jails. Did you see that one? I know I'm jumping around here a bit. I'm sorry. There's just a lot to cover. So, and then there's another proposal out there to give you free rent and $2,000 monthly stimulus checks. Where's all this money coming from? Well, I know we can just print it. That seems to be the notion, but we're not printing money. We're borrowing money. And guess who's going to pay that back? Your children. No, wait a minute. Fast forward. Your grandchildren. Your grandchildren are going to be paying this money back forever. Money does not grow on a tree. It takes the private sector for the government to spend money. All right. We're back with more. This is Russ Betts in beautiful downtown Palm Springs, a very quiet Palm Springs. We're back.
thank you for educating so many of us. I think you're the best.
We are the people in your neighborhood.
With great power comes great responsibility.
This is The Russ Betts Show.
Oh, that's us. Welcome back to The Russ Betts Show. We're going through a potpourri of stories here. This first hour, we got another hour coming up. We're here to, when are we here till noon? We're here every Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon. Coming to you from beautiful downtown Palm Springs. Are your parents or grandparents curious about cannabis? That's a story that's in the USA Today. And I'm laughing. I'm going here, you know, all right, here's some youngin' asking somebody who's in their 50s or 60s or I guess 70s would be the Haight-Ashbury crowd. Are your parents or grandparents curious about cannabis? Do they know that what you have here in your drawer? And I'm guessing though your parents or grandparents probably know a whole lot more about cannabis than you do. But here you got this big, long article out of the USA Today. Somebody obviously way out of touch. If your parents lectured you on the dangers of pot, they might have since changed their tunes. Attitudes, especially among baby boomers, have shifted dramatically in favor of pot legalization and cannabis derivatives like CBD oil. Here's the hang-up. Our older loved ones might not be sure where to start or they may just feel embarrassed about their interest. Okay, I guess the younger generations think everything is new to them. And I can remember my dad telling me, you know, the benefit of getting older is that you can see basically everything that's going to happen that's coming your way. The only thing you can't see is, of course, what's ahead of you as an older person. And we don't want to look at that too much. But I'm just getting a real kick out of this one is all this advice out of the USA Today on telling you how to approach your baby boomer parents who were probably, you know, if they weren't smoking it, they knew somebody that was. Am I revealing too much here? I don't know. All right, we talked about these proposals on free rent. There's actually a movement out there. It's called Cancel Rent, and it's a program by who's out with this one? I don't know if it's worth it. Yeah, Representative Ilhan Omar, she's a Democrat out of Minnesota, has proposed new legislation called the Rent and Mortgage Cancellation Act, and the bill would institute nationwide cancellation of residential rents and mortgage payments through the duration of the coronavirus pandemic. And it would be full payment forgiveness of rent or mortgage payments for your primary residence, no accumulation of debt for renters or mortgage borrowers, and no negative impact on your credit rating or rental history for renters or mortgage borrowers. Well, you know, that's got a bill to be paid somewhere. And I think the bankers are going to want to talk to Ilhan Omar. That's usually who talks to people in Congress who decide to go against the lawmakers when it comes to budgets. There is a good program here locally. It's a rental assistance program. A group called Lift to Rise announced on Saturday, this is a week ago Saturday, a new rental assistance fund. And they've got $2 million in seed commitments. It's going to help thousands of Coachella Valley residents who have been the most impacted by the pandemic. There are some people out there who are not getting income, but I'm telling you, as this money's starting to flow and the more and more people are getting these stimulus checks and their unemployment insurance, just about everybody's checking in on that one. But anyhow, there's some help here. And in the first phase, Lift to Rise created an emergency cash assistance fund, which has provided $200 to nearly 2,000 Coachella Valley families. So that's good news. I feel a sneeze coming on. And there is a sneeze button in here, but I'm going to wait. If you hear me sneeze, you'll know what's going on. All right, what else we got? Interesting news out of the county regarding the county jail. County's got $100 million anticipated budget deficit, which means what are they going to do with staffing that county jail? And, you know, you got to hire people. You got to get it opened up. It takes supplies. It takes money to operate a jail. And here's a new jail coming online at a time when, might not be able to get that one done or accomplished as they want to. So we'll see what happens. Oh, you know, this, where did this all start? You know, on March 1st, we canceled the tennis tournament. And then on March 10th, Coachella and Stagecoach got postponed. And, you know, the goal was to avoid Italy and New York. And then, you know, this whole thing, this economy just comes down and it hits. You know, you run into problems here. So, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? All right, I'm stalling here as I look through my notes. Sorry, I lost my place. I think you can tell that when somebody's on here. And I'm told don't talk about stuff like that on here. But I'm trying to get through here. All right, we're going to see what happens. We're going to, coming up here in the next hour, we're going to get into a detailed look at the... we're going to start out with a budget look in the city I'm real familiar with. Then we're going to take a look, a detailed look at what's coming up in the news out of Palm Springs. And it's not a real good picture for Palm Springs especially. They were counting on a huge percentage of their budget almost 30% of their budget was the transient occupancy tax to the tune of, 2017-2018, it was $34 million of revenue coming in. And then in 2019 and 2020, it was $35 million. And then their adopted budget for 2021, the budget they had just adopted and completed and think, hey, everything's great, was $36 million. Well, if you're taking a drive through Palm Springs and looked at the hotels, I drove past the Riviera. Beautiful property, nice place, good place to go for an event, just beautiful. And it appears to be closed up to me. In fact, I took a drive down Palm Canyon Boulevard, and everything is closed up there. Just about everything. I mean, there's stores there that have signs that say, open, you know, come on in, stop. We'll do curbside people trying to get their businesses opened back up. But, you know, when you drove down Palm Canyon Boulevard on a Saturday, it wasn't make every light green and cruise on through as if it's just a drive down a country road. It was, it was booming. It was like, okay, here's a tourist in my way. All right, fine. I'll be nice. I won't honk the horn. We need him to come here. I'm going to be quiet, and I'll just take my time and cruise slowly down Palm Canyon Boulevard. Wow, look at all those people at that sidewalk diner. Wow, at least you can barely get by the sidewalk. That diner is so busy. And, there's the pizza place. It's packed always. And now there's not going to be any parking on this street. I'm going to keep driving around for it. Maybe there'll be some parking over there. That's not the case now. You can park anywhere. The few people walking, there are some people that appear to be walking, looking at the stars that are on the sidewalk. Now you can take them in without anybody else's feet getting in the way of your picture as you're trying to take a picture of that famous celebrity that you came to see. I'm sure there's some people here on town for some reason or other that says, well, I might as well go look around Palm Springs. Las Vegas is the same. You've seen those videos out there? Guys are riding their bikes or walking through the strip. It's all closed up. All right. We're going into hour two here on the Russ Betts Show. Glad to have you with us. Coming to you from beautiful, quiet downtown Palm Springs, California here on iHub Radio.